will be from the book of Psalm 52 and verse 1. And what we are looking at today is worshiping a good God. Like I said, that's the theme of this morning. And it's part of the series we've been looking at, knowing the God that we worship. And the emphasis in all the messages is just to get to see who God is from the scriptures. Not a God that we've been told of, or maybe a God that from your experiences you think, you know what, this is who I think God is. But it's always good to come to the scriptures. And we've seen that God is holy. We've seen that he is faithful. We've seen that he's a powerful God. And the other things that we've seen the Bible tell us about God. And that's why this subject is very important for us. For those who have got their Bibles, may have to do the scripture reading, open the scriptures themselves. And that's just it's just convenience, isn't it? Putting the scriptures up there. And I don't think Frank is there as well to do it from the back. So you might have to use your Bibles. And so Psalm 52, and I'll read verse 1 of Psalm 52. And this is what the scripture says. It says, "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man?" It says, "The goodness of God endures continually." Think about that again. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. And we just ask that God will bless the scripture to us as we examine it, and all the scriptures as well. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were asked this morning what your concept or idea of a good person is, I don't know what your answer would be. Because when we talk about goodness and being good, I think it's at the heart of the concept of salvation. You know, some people come to God and they come to him because they think maybe they are good in themselves. And so God will commend them for being good. And for others, look at themselves and they see nothing good at all in them. And they still come to God and draw close to God. And as a result, the Bible tells us that those are the ones that get justified. So if you were asked what your concept of a good person is, what will your answer be? I'm sure we might get answers like some might say, well, a good person is someone who is very grateful, or someone who has a little bit of gratitude. And others might say, well, is someone who has some basic integrity in their life. Whatever they say, they stick by it. They are very truthful. They are honest. Or maybe some other person might say, well, a good person is someone who considers people around them. He's very considerate. And he never wants to hurt anyone. And so we have different concepts or idea of what a good person is. So what we are saying, in other words, is that most of us will say that a good person is someone who is better than the average person. So if I'm slightly better than you are, then obviously I'm a good person. Or if you are better than someone else around you who is not doing what they should, or what you think they shouldn't be doing, and you don't do that, then you feel, well, you know what? I think I'm a good person. But when it comes to God, there is a clear difference, and you see this in scripture, between man's goodness and God's goodness. God is not what you might call better than average. You know, you compare him to someone else and you say, you know what, I think God is good because he's better than this other person, or he doesn't do this, or because he does that. Or you look at God and you say, you know what, I think God is good because of the things that I've seen him do. And sometimes that's how people explain goodness. Or they look at their lives and see the things that God has done for them. And they say, well, you know what? I think God is good. And so when those things don't happen as they expect it to happen, then all of a sudden, God is no longer good. So when you come to the scriptures, you need to ask yourself, what exactly does it mean? Worshipping a good God. How do I draw close to God? How does he change my understanding of who God is? Because if I know that God is holy, it affects how I live. If I know that God is faithful, no matter what happens around me or the delays I may go through as a person or as a Christian, it reminds me that God will be true to his promises. If I know that God is powerful and a mighty God, it tells me that he can do wonders for me. And the same thing, if I know that God is a good God, it kind of anchors my faith. It helps me to see that God truly will show himself strong and faithful on my behalf. There's a scripture in the book of Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. And it's quite an interesting verse of scripture, because when you read this verse of scripture, this is what it says. It says there in the book of Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the Lord is good. He said, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. And it's a clear statement. The Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And that's why I can run to him in the times of trouble. And so if you find yourself not able to draw close to God, or even to run to him in the days of trouble, or when there's a problem, ask yourself again, do you really believe in your heart that God truly is a good God? Do you really believe that God knows those who trust in him, and he will come to their rescue? And that's why this psalm in Psalm 52 that we read, he says, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures forever. There are people out there who actually don't believe that God is good. And so because of that, they are continuing in their evil ways. And you are saying, well, if God is truly there, then why hasn't he come down and destroyed the work of my hands? Or why hasn't he come down and done this or done that? But they seem to forget that actually the goodness of God towards them can be seen in God's preservation of their lives. It can be seen in other ways, though they are evil and wicked. And that's why it's important for us to understand this concept that the goodness of God endures, as it says in that scripture, continually. Which simply means that it's never absent from God's character. There's never a time that you look at God and you will not see the goodness of God, or you not see him as being a God who is goodness, that, or who is good. That tells me that goodness is ever present with the God that you worship and the God that I worship. But the question I want to ask this morning is, how can God's goodness be seen in our lives? Like I said, from experience, some people will look at God and say, well, I really don't think that he's that good. And others will say, well, from what I can see in my life as a Christian, as a person, I think that God is good, and you can't convince me otherwise. So are we to depend on our experiences to say that God is good, or are we to depend on what the scripture tells us? So how can God's goodness be seen? And when you come to the scriptures, there are loads of ways. I'm not going to go into every single one of them. I'll just share a few with us how God's goodness can be seen. There have been times in my life when I had to struggle with this concept of God being good. You know, you look at the things around you. You've got questions in your heart. There are things maybe that haven't really worked as you think it should. And then all of a sudden you're saying to yourself, if he's really good, then how do I know it? How can I see it? Or maybe we choose intentionally not to see the goodness of God. And the first place, or the first way to convince yourself of God's goodness, and you find this in the scripture, is that God's goodness can actually be seen in God's provision for all of our needs. His goodness can be seen in his ability to provide for his creation. When you go to the book of Psalm 145, this psalm actually is a classic passage on the goodness of God and how he provides for us. And I'm just going to read a few verses of that to you. In Psalm 145, look at verses 6 to verse 7. He says in verse 6 of Psalm 145, he says, men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts and will declare your greatness. And in verse 7, he says, they shall utter the memory of your great goodness. Can you see how he describes it? They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. That's what we do. That's what we are called to do. Why? Because we can see what God is doing for us and his provisions. But look at from verses 14 now to verse 16 of the same psalm, Psalm 145. And he says this, he says, the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. And verse 15 says, the eyes of all look expectantly to you. You don't look expectantly to someone who's got nothing to give you or who cannot provide for you. And look at what he says, and you give them their food in due season. You give them their food in due season. And in verse 16, he says, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So you can see God's ability to provide for us. I remember one day I went to pick Daniel from school, my little son. So we got into the car, and I don't know what subject or what they were looking at in school that morning, that day. And he said to me, "Dad," he said, "I don't know," because obviously we've always told him about God and God's existence and God's goodness and being good to us. And so he said, "Dad," he said, "why are people suffering all over the world?" And this is a six-year-old doing some deep theology with me in a car. So he's beginning to question. He says, "There are people who are hungry. They don't have food to eat. So is God really, what is God doing about it?" And we had to explain to him. I said, "For the fact that I am hungry, or for the fact I haven't got food to eat, does not mean that God is starving me of food. Because the reality is that, let's look at it, there are reasons why in nations where you've got poverty and drought and some other things going on, where rulers are not able to provide for their citizens and lots of other reasons." So I started explaining to him that God is not withholding food from those people. God is not saying to them, "Oh, you can't drink water," because there is abundance of natural resources in our world today. There's enough food, actually, in our world today to go around and to feed every hungry soul. But like I've said, there are other reasons why that may not be possible. So I just looked at me and he said, "Okay." So I hope he understood the little explanation I gave him on his own level and not on a higher level. And so God says here that he opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. So we can look at the drought we see somewhere else, and then we say, "Oh, well, because there is drought here, that tells me that God cannot provide, or God does not provide. Because if he is God, then why hasn't someone got food or water to drink?" That is not a logical argument or conclusion to make from scripture. There is a psalm again in Psalm 34 verse 8, and this is what he says, a lovely psalm in Psalm 34 and verse 8. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And sometimes that's what God does to us. He calls us to come into this wonderful relationship. Because some stand at a distance and say, "You know what, God is not good. I don't believe in this God that you talk about. He's faithful, he's holy, he's gracious, he's all this. I don't want..." But the Bible says, you come and taste. Have an experience. Again, going back to my son, Daniel, because as children grow, some of the things they do is amazing when you think of it. I remember one day we put a food on the table. He hadn't even tasted the food. So, "Daniel, are you going to eat?" He says, I don't want to eat." "Why don't you want to?" "I don't like it." Now, how do you know you don't like it? You haven't even tasted it. And the brother, of course, the little one, Michael as well, followed as well. "Oh, I don't like it." I said, "Can you just taste it and see?" And of course, after they tasted it, there was nothing left in the plate. And that is how it is sometimes with our relationship with God. We look at God and we are wondering, "Oh, is he truly a good God?" We don't want to come into that depth of a relationship. We won't want to do the things that he's asking us to. We don't want to commit our hearts fully to him, follow him all the days of our lives. And yet we are wondering and questioning whether he is a good God. But the reality in scripture is that God is good. And he says to us, "Taste and see that I am truly." I have tasted. Many of us here have tasted. And we can truly say that God has been good to us in our relationship with him, in our commitment to him, in the things that we may be struggling with and going through, but we can still see the hand of God upholding and strengthening us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So the first way we know we see God's goodness is in his provisions for us. You know, there's a scripture that tells us that the Lord, Paul, this is Paul speaking now in Philippians 4:19, that the Lord shall supply all my, according to, and he talks about his needs. It's not that God supplies everything we want, but there are things that in our lives we know that is essential, is necessary for us to live the life that God has called us to live. And God provides this. And in Paul's life, in Paul's experiences, remember, this was a man who went through all kinds of trials. He went through all kinds of pain. But Paul can still look up to God and say, "You know what? My God supplies. My God can and will provide for me." So his goodness can be seen in his provision. So think about his provisions for you over the past few years, or ever since you've been born and up to this day where you are, you will truly see that, you know what, God is good. Now, another way you can see God's goodness is that God's goodness actually can be seen in his patience with us. God's goodness can be seen in his patience with us. When you go to the scripture, and this is actually something I found out, I discovered this in scripture, that when you think of God's patience, it's actually mentioned in the context of his goodness more than any other attribute of God. When you're thinking about God's patience in the scriptures, it's mentioned in the context of his goodness more than any other attribute of God that you find in the scriptures. And that's why the psalm, there's a psalm I'm going to read to you in Psalm 107. The psalm is like a man who is looking at God and looking at the goodness of God. But then he links that goodness with the patience of God, because that's what he does. I mean, we are humans, and sometimes we lose patience with things and people. People get on our nerves and we react. We kind of explode and do things that we ought not to do. But look at this psalm in Psalm 107 and verse 1. He says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Why should I give thanks to the Lord? He says, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And then he goes on to tell us why, what God has done for us. Because when we look at the scripture, it actually is telling us that God is patient with us. And sometimes he does not give us what we deserve. We know before we give our life to Christ, we deserve judgment. We deserve condemnation. And even after we've given our lives to him, we don't always get it right. But God is still patient with us. He instructs us. He consoles us. He lifts us up. He binds up the brokenhearted. Even when we are faithless, God still remains faithful to us. So when you think of the patience of God, it tells you that truly God is a good God. Put yourself in God's shoes or position for just a few seconds. I know you're not God, you're not God, but imagine how far your patience can go. That you look at some people who are in rebellion against God and the things that you see all around you. There's a possibility you might run out of patience, and that is the human side of us. But what God does is that he pleads, he begs. His patience, as we see it in scripture, he wants us to draw close to him. He forgives us even when we falter and when we fall. Of course, we know there is judgment with our God, but at the same time, we can see his patience all through scripture. Go back to the beginning in the story of Noah in the Bible. When we think about judgment, some wonder, oh, why did God judge the earth? But remember before then, how long the patience of God, how he waited. He called on the people, beckoned on them. Noah was building the ark and getting ready for what was to come. God loved them that much that he had to sound the warning. The same thing with Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. So we can't look at God and say, well, God is not good. He's not a good God. Because think about his patience with you as a person. The times when you haven't lived up to expectations. The time when you've disappointed him. The times when you knew you deserved something else, but God withheld that from you. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to look at God and say, well, God, I deserve this, and you haven't given it to me. But put it the other way. What about the things that you deserve, actually, in terms of, and God withholds that from you, all because of his goodness. And that's why when I come to him, I say to God, thank you because you are a good God. Not only have you given me the things I deserve, but you've also withheld things that I also deserve, which you've kept back from me in terms of pain and punishment and some other things that we possibly wouldn't want in our lives. And that is all about the goodness of God. The third thing, again, when you want to see, think or reflect on God's goodness, is that God's goodness, and I think this is very simple and it should remind us of God's goodness. God's goodness is seen in the way that God protects us. Something as simple as protection. I mean, every one of us in this room, we've had some maybe experiences or similar situations or circumstances in our life that we can look up to God and say, you know what, if not for God who has protected and kept me safe from this, maybe I wouldn't even be here today. And sometimes we only look at the negatives, the ill health and the pain and the things that maybe we are going through. But then we fail to see that God's goodness is seen actually in how this God has protected us. And this is why the psalmist in Psalm 27 and verse 13, listen to what the psalmist said. It's like a man who stood and reflected on the goodness of God. And he's saying to himself, if not that God had been good to me, this is what would have happened. Listen to verse 13. He says, of Psalm 27, he says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That whole Psalm 27 is about God's protection from fear, from enemies, and also from the dangers of war. Actually, if you read it from the beginning in Psalm 27, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If you can look behind the scenes and see what God has done for you in terms of protection, maybe you will think differently. If you can look back and understand, or maybe if the veil can be taken off and you see actually what God is doing behind the scenes that you don't see or recognize, maybe you will be more grateful to that God who has kept you. There's this scripture in the book of Exodus. When I saw this scripture, it actually taught me a big lesson. For those who remember when God was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And the Bible said something, and this is very instructive for us, that instead of God taking them through a shorter route or a shortcut, God actually took them through a longer way. And you wonder, why did God do that? Now, there was something that God had seen. The Bible says that God actually had known that the people have not experienced warfare. These were slaves who have just come out of Egypt. And so, meeting the Philistines, they will be ill prepared to face the battles. And so God had to avoid and took them through a different way, though it was longer, but just to get them to the land where they were meant to be. And look at Exodus chapter 13. I'm just going to read that to you. Look at Exodus 13, from verses 17 to verse 18. And in verse 17, he says this. He says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. And so God had to, in verse 18 of Exodus chapter 13, so God had to lead the people around by way of the wilderness by the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now, they don't understand this. They can't see it. And that's why sometimes when we start complaining and murmuring, oh, why is this happening? Why are there delays? Why haven't this happened? Maybe there is something that God is doing for you or protecting you from that you actually should be grateful to God for. Humanly speaking, I would prefer a shorter way to get to my destination. And so if God intervenes and takes me through a longer route, I'm not going to be happy, humanly speaking. But the reality is that God sees the future. Remember when we looked at God being an eternal God? He lives out of time. He understands, and everything that God does, he, not only being an eternal God, we know that he is a sovereign God. And he does things that sometimes as humans, we may not understand. But the reality is that God is keeping some of us safe, possibly from harm. When a relationship breaks down, sometimes people don't like it. You know, people cry, oh, why did that? But sometimes we don't know. Maybe God is keeping us from something worse that could have happened. Or maybe the next time when you're stuck in traffic or you take a wrong turn, before you complain and murmur and bang and hit the steering wheels, stop and remember God's goodness. That delay actually may be saving you from something on the road that you may not understand. And the delay sometimes might just be in an exercise in patience building. And God is saying to you, you will still get to your destination, but I want you to understand that I'm doing something. I remember a few weeks ago, and this is very close to my house. It's a road. I always go through that roundabout and come into church. And, you know, sometimes we take these things for granted. And that day I just went past and I was coming back and I've seen this horrible accident that has just happened. And I'm thinking to myself, now, I didn't go to on the motorway to see what has just happened. This was just 2 minutes from where I live. And so sometimes the places we go to or come back home safely, we go out and we come home without any problems. Sometimes we fail to see what God may be doing for us, but we don't seem to appreciate it. God took them through a different way, although They could have gone through a shorter way, but God said, no, there's something I see that you don't see. There's something that you are not prepared for, but I'm not going to let you go through it. And he take them through an entirely different route. The last thing to reflect on this morning about God's goodness, or how we can see God's goodness, is that God's goodness can be seen in the path that God has chosen for each one of us. God's goodness can be seen in the path that he has chosen for you and he has chosen for me. You know, sometimes we get this mistaken notion or idea that serving God or worshiping God is like God trying to shackle us or put a weight or limit us with restrictions and rules and all of that. But when you think about the path that God has chosen for us, which is the path of life, the path of truth, the path that leads to eternal life, then it tells us that actually this God is a good God. The scripture we have in Matthew chapter 7, I'm just going to read that and I'll end with that scripture. In Matthew chapter 7, from verses 13 to verse 14, the Bible says, and this is the path that God has actually chosen for us, it says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell, look at this, is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. Look at verse 14. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. So it's like a choice. There's a narrow way, and there is a broad way. And God, through his mercy and grace, has guided us into the path of the narrow. Where, though we may think that, well, God is so much restrictions, we can't do this, we can't do what we want, we can't live like the world. But actually, it's an expression of God's goodness to us. Because humanly speaking, if I were to choose a path, possibly I would have chosen the broad. I would have chosen the way where I've got so much freedom to live how I want, and you know, the excesses maybe is that some people live for today. But God laid hold on me. He put me in the path of the narrow. And the Bible says it's only few ever find it. So for you to have found it and you're walking in that way, it shows that God truly has been good to you. And like I said, it's a road that leads to eternal life. So think again about God's provision for you as a person. Think again about his protection. Think about the path that God has chosen for you. And as you reflect on all these simple things, they're not difficult, but they're just very simple truths from scripture to remind you that God truly have been good to you. And if you've not taken a moment to thank him for that, his goodness towards you, maybe this is an opportunity for you to do that. Just to thank him that he has kept you alive. To thank him that he's chosen a path for you to walk in. To thank him that your needs are being met. Even when you didn't have all it takes to meet those needs, God still was there for you as a person. So that's what we're going to do quickly this morning. If you just want to bow your heads and just thank God this morning for his goodness to you as a person. And for a few seconds, just look away from what has not worked for you.